are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here from the Locked On at Big 12 Podcast. It is April 14th, 2021. On the show today, Stephen Simcox of Locked On Horned Frogs joins me to discuss Big 12 baseball. If you guys are like me, a lot of us, you know, we've been paying attention to basketball and it just ended. So kind of jumping into baseball now, Steven's going to catch us up on what's happening in Big 12 baseball. I'll let you guys know the episodes moving forward are going to be a mixture of Big 12 baseball, a little bit of Big 12 softball. We're also going to have a lot of draft talk from the NBA and NFL drafts, and we're going to talk some spring football. So a whole lot of different areas we're going to dive into as we get into kind of the off seasons for the two major sports, and you know, the football and basketball are about to have their drafts. Well, mostly football. Football's drafts coming up, so we'll touch a whole lot of that and talk about some spring football as well. So a lot coming your way on Locked On Big 12 Podcast the coming weeks and months. Well, everybody, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Joining me today from the Locked On Horned Frogs Podcast, it is Stephen Simcox. Stephen, so I am currently taking a break from watching miserable baseball as I cover the Washington Nationals for Locked On Nationals. They're getting hammered right now by the St. Louis Cardinals. I believe the score is 11-1 right now as I speak to you. Yep, they're in the sixth inning. Really, 12-1, excuse me. They refuse to get out of the bottom of the fifth inning here. But something gets much more I know you watch, you're a Rangers fan, so I know you feel
I'm an expert on miserable baseball, so we can commiserate about that later.
Yeah, not so miserable baseball, the Big 12. And I wanted to talk to you, you know, you and I were talking before, and I said, look, I kind of want this to be, you know, Big 12 fans who are now dropping into baseball, what can they expect? Because obviously, you know, if you're a Big 12 fan, you've been so enthralled with basketball, and it just ended last Monday night, championship for Baylor. And if you turn your attention to college baseball world, you know, it's been very SEC dominant so far this year. I believe there were times where the SEC had four of the top five teams, or five, actually they had all five at one point. Right now they have four of the top five, five of the top six. So, you know, we'll check in on that. But just kind of from a whole, where are we at in college baseball season? It seems like it's been a whole lot of SEC dominance.
Yes, the SEC is loaded. I think everyone has benefited from the extra year of eligibility. Like, you're going to hear this a lot in college football this year too, but especially in baseball with the only six rounds of the MLB draft. And, you know, so you had a lot of freshmen that might have gotten drafted and said, hey, I'm going to go to the MLB that are in school, and a lot of like super seniors who are 24 years old and still playing. Nobody's probably benefited more than the SEC with teams like Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. But I feel like there's some really good contenders in the Big 12. Texas Tech is a buzzsaw of a lineup. And, man, when you get them in Lubbock, they just hammer the ball. That wind blows out, and it's really, really hard to slow them down. They got a lot of guys that can hit home runs. They actually just took two out of three from TCU at home in a series where they didn't have two of their better hitters in Drew Baker and Dylan Noisy. Texas, you're going to hear the name Ty Madden a lot. He is about as close. Oklahoma State might have they have a couple guys that might have an argument here, but he's about as close to an automatic win as you can count on in the conference right now. Like, when he throws on Friday night, he's really good. Kendall Rogers, who covers kind of the national scene, was at that K-State series last weekend, and he said that was the worst he's seen Ty as far as command goes. And he still only gave up three runs over six innings. So he's just got nasty stuff and has a really good command of the zone. And then Oklahoma State, you know, you look at their lineup and you say, man, there's not a lot of boppers in there. They can drive the ball a little bit, but they make things happen with their pitching. Justin Campbell and Scott Parker are two really good starters. And they have a very deep bullpen as well. And then TCU has been a little inconsistent, but they're kind of at the top in the mix as well. They have a lot of solid players, and you know, they have a big series. Oklahoma State and TCU have a big series this weekend. So we're about halfway through the season. This is a good team to, this is a good time to drop in. There's a lot of critical series coming up. A lot of the better teams in the Big 12 haven't played each other yet. So you'll get to see some good baseball over the next 6 weeks or so as we barrel towards the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you know, the one college baseball thing I've watched so far, and I think it's just been kind of, it's been out of necessity. I've watched Vanderbilt because I think a lot of us were told coming into the season, right? Kumar Rocker was the guy. Jack Leiter had a chance to be something special, and now it's flipped. Like, Jack Leiter is the guy. He is going to be the number one pick, and he's going to do it overtaking his teammate, who is a guy through, you know, a no-hitter in the College World Series, right? I think that's what a lot of people are familiar with right now. Just kind of before we get to the major Big 12 stuff, have you seen Jack Leiter pitch? What do you think about him and Rocker and just kind of what those two guys have brought? Because I don't think people were as high on Vanderbilt's lineup, if I'm correct, coming into the year. People had some concerns. But, look, if you have those guys going on Friday and Saturday, you don't have to worry about too much.
No, they're ridiculous. And I was actually shocked, Josh. I don't know what happened this weekend, but they lost a series to Georgia. And I thought nobody was going to take a series from Vandy all year because Arkansas is the other team that's just loaded, and they do it more with the bats. But those two teams weren't going to play each other because it's like football, you know, West and East don't always cross over. But yeah, I've seen Leiter pitch a little bit. He's ridiculous. And Oklahoma State might have gotten the worst luck out of everybody because they played them in a non-conference series and Friday got rained out. So they saw Rocker and Leiter in a doubleheader back to back. And I think Vandy outscored them like 17-2. I mean, they didn't have a chance. But yeah, that team is set up really well because in a regional or in Omaha, if you're going to win the whole thing or knock them out, you're going to have to beat one of those guys. And both of them have been fantastic. So that's a tall task. And if you have to beat both of them in a series, you might have to forget about it.
Georgia found a way to do it. Georgia did, which is pretty impressive, you know. And look, it's going to happen in the SEC at some point. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Big 12 less so. And if you look at the rankings right now, it's not always a great indication, but in the rankings, I believe the Big 12 has four teams as it stand right now in the top 25. And that's headlined right now by Texas, who is in the three spot. So this Texas team so far this year, 25-8 overall, they are 10-2 in conference. They have won six straight games. What makes this Texas team so dangerous? Obviously, we know about Ty Madden going on Friday nights, but right now they've been able to put six wins together. What is it that they just makes them such a difficult team to face?
Yeah, it's a good question, Josh. Their lineup has kind of come on as the year's gone on. Ivan Melendez, you might have heard this name this past weekend because he hit a couple bombs against K-State. Mitchell Daly's a good player. Zach Zubia. They don't have – they're not as intimidating as Tech, like top to bottom, but they have three or four guys in the middle of the lineup that can mash, and as well as some players that can get on base. And their pitching depth is pretty good. I mean, Pete Hansen has been solid for them. Colby Kubicek, they lost a couple Sunday games early in the season to Baylor and Oklahoma, but he seems to have really steadied down, and he's their Sunday starter. He's got a 2.63 ERA. So they're just really deep. Outside of Ty Madden, there's nothing about Texas that just jumps off the page, but I think they're solid everywhere. And they also field the ball really well, which is a big deal in college baseball because you'll see teams make three or four errors in a game from time to time, and they just don't beat themselves. They got a lot of guys that haven't had an error all season long, only 29 halfway through the season, which is not bad for this level of baseball. And they play fundamentally sound. You know, it's your typical kind of David Pierce team out of that Augie Garrido tree. They're not going to beat themselves, and it starts with deep pitching and then a lineup that can kind of just wear on you and churn out runs as the game goes on.
Right, and David Pierce was really – he was brought in, you know, if I'm not correct here, to really revitalize this Texas baseball program, right? I mean, this was a team that, you know, especially growing up as a kid – I felt like you could bank on them being in the College World Series pretty much every season, right? This is a school that you could bank on being there.
Yeah, they were the standard for a long time. And a couple seasons ago, they had a huge hiccup. I mean, they just had a bunch of injuries and sort of fell off the cliff and actually missed the Big 12 tournament. But Pierce has rebounded really well. They recruit well. And it does feel like Dish Falk is getting back to You know, it's never going to be, obviously, the atmosphere that you have for a football game or anything like that. But with basketball kind of being in a weird spot, Chris Beard's there now, so I'm sure a lot of energy is coming. Oh, yeah. Baseball used to kind of be the number two sport at UT, and I don't know if you'll get back to that level again, but Pierce has done a nice job of making them a consistent contender again.
Quick pause in the action to let you guys know today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is the best place to find affordable parts for your car or truck. RockAuto.com is a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go there right now and find auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so know what we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Yeah, and it's always good. You know, it's one of those weird things where, you know, you don't think about it as much in baseball, but when Texas is good, it's kind of better for, you know, kind of the tide that rises all boats, right? It's good to have that program contending back to the top. And like you said, their lineup distribution seems to be pretty even. And that's always really important at this level. If you could have multiple guys pulling that rope, I mean, just the best teams can always hit. That's why I think Vanderbilt's been so good throughout the season. His lineup has kind of met that pitch. And it seems like the Texas lineup has done the same. Let's go on to Texas Tech now. And Tim Tadlock has always been known for building the, you know, this program up and building this team up. Texas Tech right now sits at number 8 nationally. They are 22-7. I believe third in the Big 12 conference, even though they just took two from TCU. And that's the TCU's, or their fourth, excuse me, right now. They're at 5-4. So what for them is not fully clicked yet in the conference schedule?
Yeah, so they had a really head-scratching series loss to K-State. It was Easter weekend, and they won the Thursday game 17-1. And I kind of tuned out after that. And then I look up, and all of a sudden, K-State won the next two games.
Right.
And Kansas State has some pretty good starting pitching. But the starting pitching for Tech is what struggled. And actually, they got some bad news today because Brandon Birdsell, who's been one of their weekend starters and has been really good for them, he has a rotator cuff injury. And it looks like he might be out for an extended period of time at least, but maybe the season. So Patrick Monteverde is a good pitcher for them. And then Micah Dallas, they tried to get him back in the weekend rotation against TCU, and he got shelled in the first inning. They put him in a 6-0 hole. So they got to hope that he steadies the ship, and then they can find somebody to replace Birdsell. But the thing, Josh, about Tech is their lineup is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, they took 2 out of 3 from TCU, even though Drew Baker is hitting .427 right now, is out with an injury. And also Dylan Noisy, who's a solid guy at the top of the lineup. But Jace Young, who is Josh Young's brother, he has 15 home runs on the season, and we're about halfway through the year. He hit 3 homers on Sunday against TCU. Cal Conley is also somebody that can mash. Cole Stidwell, Braxton Fullard. They just have player after player that can hit. And it's really hard to describe, but I think Lubbock is an advantage for them in every sport. And with baseball, it's a combination of the fans and that West Texas win that blows out. And it just lends itself to high scoring games. And that's what they live on. So even though Tech is kind of banged up, I still seriously doubt that anybody can take a series from them at home. And they've already got a win over Oklahoma State and TCU at home in series this year. So I'm not looking at the schedule. I don't know where that Texas series is, but if they can just kind of sweep or win 2 out of 3 in Lubbock, they're going to have a really good chance at being, you know, at the top of the conference. And if they can find somebody to replace Birdsell on that weekend rotation, then they're really looking to be a team that could challenge for a spot in Omaha as well.
The other team I want to talk about a little bit before we get to your TCU Horned Frogs is Oklahoma State. They're 21-7-1, and in the Big 12 right now, they are in third place. What's really interesting about Oklahoma State, and this is what I always like to point to, is they might have one of the most ridiculous staffs. And when I mean staff, I mean a coaching staff. Their coaching staff has Robin Ventura and Matt Holliday on the staff, which which is like, I mean, could you imagine being an 18-year-old kid and getting to have that wealth of knowledge? And look, the pitchers could pick their brains too, you know, about how to attack certain hitters in certain spots. But having those two guys, not too bad. But, you know, this team, yeah, their pitching rotation is really that's been, I think, this year is what's really helped them. Am I correct on this?
Yeah, you are. Their coaching staff is kind of like the Blue Jays. It's like a 90s baseball retro, like throwback edition in some ways. But yes, yeah, so they're led by their pitching staff. They actually don't, they only have one player that hits regularly that's hitting over 300 right now. But Justin Campbell is spotting a 1.15 ERA so far this year. Scott Parker is 1.60. Their Sunday starter gets a little more vulnerable, and that's where you've seen them have some hiccups. But as far as, you know, Friday and Saturday, they got two guys that can go six or seven innings and are only going to give up a few runs. Most runs Campbell has given up this year was three, and that was in North Carolina Greensboro. And I'll just chalk that up to maybe not having the best focus in the office that day. Overall, though, Oklahoma State is going to make it happen with their arms. They have a good bullpen as well. So they play a little small ball. You know, they have a few guys that can hit home runs, and it makes up for some of their lower batting averages. But if you're going to lose games to them, it's probably going to be, you know, more of the 3-2, 4-1 type of variety, because they keep it low scoring and have some timely hitting when they can.
Yeah, and even, I mean, you know, Wrubelski for them, like the guy is still, I mean, opponents are only hitting 203 off of him. So, you know, it's still – it's a pretty well rounded rotation. And then, yeah, you went back to the hitting, and I mean, Encarnacion Strand is the guy that really pops off the page to you. I mean, he's a guy, I think he's been in the Big 12 honors a couple times now in terms of player of the week. So, you know, the one problem is you kind of get worried when you start seeing later on in the year, you start seeing everybody's best pitchers, you know, night in, night out, right towards the back end of the season, when you get in those, the pod settings. You know, you sometimes have to force a third game or a second, you know, depending on what it is, a second game against a team, right, before you kind of get a pitcher that you're really confident you can hit. That might be a problem for them down the line, right, getting themselves a situation where they're facing not a top arm in one of those tournament settings.
Yeah, I think it can be. And, I mean, you know, that lineup, we'll see how they hold up against top flight pitching too, because if you can't score, it's tough to win, even if you have – a way to, you know, hold on and stay in those games. So that's going to be the issue for Oklahoma State. They still have some time to figure it out and maybe find some ways to manufacture runs in those games. But they definitely have guys on that staff that can hang with just about anybody, it seems.
Also want to let you guys know that today's show is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You guys know the deal. Football and basketball season are over in the college ranks, but the NBA rolls on. The NHL, MLB are all in full swing. You guys can go to betonline.ag today and bet on that. Awards, television shows, TV shows, reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline even has you covered for the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website right now. Use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% discount. It's a welcome bonus. So if you guys deposit $100, they give you guys 50 extra to play with. That's promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON Locked On. LOCKEDON Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today, everybody. Use that promo code Locked On 15 or Locked 15, LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off your next purchase at BuiltBar.com. Check out their Built Go, their Built Boost, everything there. We've been telling you guys how good Built Bar is for a while. It's the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting bar covered in chocolate. Once again, use that promo code LOCKED15 to receive your 15% discount at BuiltBar.com today. All right, so TCU now. So TCU is in a kind of weird spot. They are 12th in the country, but they are, what, second now in the conference? And I think they just dropped their first conference games in Lubbock. Would you say it's a sign of anything to come, or just kind of one of those blips and chalk it up to some of how, you know, how difficult it is to win at a place like Lubbock?
So, yeah, they blew through their first couple of series against Baylor and Oklahoma sweeps. That Tech series was close. Sunday was not close. That was a run rule game where they got destroyed. But Saturday they had a chance to pull it out. I think they're going to be a factor. The issue with TCU is they're really thin in their bullpen. They have a couple guys, Halen Green and Charles King, that can go multiple innings. And they have a young pitcher, River Ridings, who has come in some high leverage situations. But outside of that, they just really don't have a lot of guys they can trust. So they haven't fared well in close games, but they haven't played a lot of close games. They've either blown people out or gotten blown out. You know, we're about 30 games in, and they've played in 4 one-run games all season, and they've lost 3 of those. So down the road, that's a problem because you're going to have, you know, close games against really good teams. We'll see how they bounce back against Oklahoma State. They have a good lineup, not a great lineup. Hunter Wolf can hit really well. Gene Wood has some power. Braden Taylor's a freshman who's hitting the ball well. He's both driving it out of the park and, you know, has a good average as well. They're aggressive. They run the base as well. So they've been able to manufacture runs. And their starting staff is pretty solid. Russell Smith is really good on Friday nights. Austin Krobe has nasty stuff. And if he is hitting his spots, he's a formidable guy on Saturdays. And then on Sundays, they have a player, Johnny Ray. He's a JUCO transfer, and he's actually a pretty high draft prospect because he's got nasty stuff. He can hit 98 on the gun fairly consistently, but he walks a lot of dudes. And he struggled to get out of the fourth or fifth inning because his pitch count's so high. He had a really bad start against Texas Tech. So some inconsistency in the back end of that rotation and just not many guys on the bullpen that they can trust that have sort of haunted them this year. That being said, I think they're going to take care of business against kind of the bottom half of the league, and it's really going to come down to, you know, how do they play against Oklahoma State and Texas and in those critical series that are left for them over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and kind of look at their schedule. You know, they're going to get a pretty – I mean, I wouldn't say it's a, the worst draw in the world, but look, playing Oklahoma State, then playing KU, West Virginia, then Texas – you know, it's kind of shaping up pretty nice for them. And also after that, they're going to get a break with the ULM series before they play Kansas State in their final series of the year. So not really having to run the gauntlet maybe towards the back end. It's pretty nice.
No, it is. And, yeah, this two-week stretch is probably their tough stretch of the season with Tech and Oklahoma State back-to-back. But they've got some space in between that and the UT series. And they'll have some time if they can set themselves up well to maybe work out some things before the tournament starts. You know, one thing I'll say too before we go, I don't know if people caught this, but they're actually going to choose regional and super regional sites at the end of this month because they want to give those sites extra time to be able to prepare for COVID protocols. So these teams will find these top teams in the Big 12, they'll find out if they get a chance to host in the next few weeks. So it's a pretty critical time of the year because apparently it's going to be, you make a bid, and if it looks like your team is good enough to be, you know, a top 16 seed, they'll give you a chance to host. So some teams will be jockeying for position. But that's big for, you know, a team like Texas Tech that plays so much better at home than they do on the road.
Is there any team in kind of the back part of this conference that you think, you know, I'll go five the rest? I mean, West Virginia – kind of average. I know Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma is usually a program that we expect to be pretty good, and they just haven't been. I mean, that was a program growing up pretty consistently, pretty good. Haven't been as good as of late. Anybody in that back end who maybe we should be looking at?
You know, OU. I think they have the talent to do it, but the times I've watched them this year, I just haven't been really impressed. I'll actually go with a team that doesn't have a really good record right now, but Baylor took 2 out of 3 from West Virginia over the weekend. They have a really good leadoff hitter in Jared McKenzie, a pretty solid staff. Tyler Thomas throws for them on Friday nights, and he's been good. Hayden Kettler has also been pretty good for them on Sundays. And Steve Rodriguez, just he has a way. His teams never start well, but they seem to finish pretty, you know, pretty solidly. And they've already played TCU in Texas. They went 1-5 over those 6 games, so that's a big reason why their record's not that great. If they can continue to play well against some of the other teams in the back end of that conference like they did against West Virginia, then I think they'll have a good chance to make the tourney. Now, as far as any dark horses to contend for, you know, a top 4 spot or a Big 12 title, No, I really think it's the four teams we talked about in Tech, Texas, Oklahoma State, and TCU.
That will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @LOBig12. Follow me @JoshNeighbors_. And until next time, my friends, please stay safe.